would like to continue on a series on faith. Last week, we looked at the definition of faith. What is faith? And we know that faith is very important because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, you can't receive from God. By your faith, you were saved because of grace. So faith is the transmission line between the transmitter, who is God, the power of God, and you, who are the receiver. So if you want to make a call to Europe, it's really easy nowadays. You pick up the phone. You don't have to book a call, as some of the older ones might recall, booking a call. You pick up the phone and you dial, and you don't even have to go to the operator. You just dial, and the transmission line takes you all the way to Europe. Well, that's what your faith is. Your faith is that transmission line of the glory of God, of the power of God, from heavenly places into where you need it. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. But we need to pull it down from the heavenly places here. Just as every person on earth has been blessed with salvation. The word's purchased for every person on earth. But they have to use their faith to receive the gift that was paid for by grace. They have to believe and receive and ask Jesus into their hearts. And just as Jesus paid for their salvation 2,000 years ago, just so he paid for your healing, and he paid for your finances, and he paid for everything that you need from God. That all the many names of God, which represents the character of God, he is your provider, he is your healer. All these names are representative of your salvation package. It was all paid for on the cross by Jesus Christ. But we need to tune in to the right channel to pull down the blessing we need. So if you want healing your body, then it doesn't help you study finances, or it's a minimal help. If you want to have protection, then knowing that God is your healer may not be the right scriptures to use for protection. Just as if you want corn, you don't go into your backyard or your farm and plant potatoes. If you want corn, you plant corn. Whatever blessing you need from God, you tune in with your financial receiver by planting the word of God in that area. So tonight we want to continue more in what faith is. Tonight is what faith is, module 2. And tonight I want to stress action. See, in the first teaching in faith, you could understand it in your head, and you could believe in your head, and we would call that mental assent. But mental assent doesn't tap into the spiritual power. Mental assent doesn't put you in connection with God. Mental assent is not the transmission wire that brings God's glory and power into your life. It is faith. Faith is in your heart. Mental assent is in your head. Believing and understanding in your head is called mental assent. Believing and understanding in your heart, now that's called the engrafted word. That's called faith. Out of your heart flows all the issues of life. And what allows the issues of life to flow out of your heart is your faith. Your faith is a combination lock that unlocks the issues of life. And let the glory of God, God is in your spirit. Let the glory of God, the power of God, flow out to change your life. We are so used to going to evangelistic services and seeing a perfect stranger who may be famous praying for people, and they get healed. And the people, many of them do little, nothing more than show up. But the man who prays for them, he's been tuning into the power of God. He's the one who spent the time in prayer under the anointing of God. So somebody has to take the action. And this concept of going to somebody else to pray for you works the first time, maybe the second time, unlikely the third time, because we need to grow from diapers into suits of armor. And as long as we are looking primarily to somebody else to do the work for us, then we're still feeding on the milk of the word. For the word of God says that Jesus Christ died so that you could have access to God. We don't need a high priest, for he is our high priest. We don't need an intermediary between us and God. We don't need anointed men and women between us and God to get our healing, to get our needs met. What we need to do is have faith in our heart with the corresponding works
so we can open the door and turn the transmitter on so the glory of God comes down. So tonight we want to stress that faith requires an action. Faith requires an action. And in fact, I want to read to you from Hebrews 6 verse 12 in the Amplified Bible. Hebrews 6 verse 12 in the Amplified. In order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards. Sluggards mean lazy. But imitators, behaving as do those who through faith. God wants us to be imitators, imitators of Christ, imitators of the great men and women of God. The great men and women of God, behaving as do those who through faith, and here is the definition of faith, that is, by their leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. And by practice of patience, endurance, and waiting, inherit the promise. The definition here, he's saying, faith with patience, you inherit the promise. But the Bible here is giving us a definition of faith. Leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ with absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. And take a moment and ask yourself, you say, I think I'm a person of faith. Have you been leaning with your entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in his power and his wisdom and goodness? And I think we all fall short. But we want to get better. We want to get better. And the step in getting better is knowing that faith without works is dead. That faith requires action. And this definition of faith here shows you the action. You're leaning. Now, last Friday, we looked at the definition of faith, which is in Hebrews 11, verse 1. And from the King James, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Now you say, well, I know that. I got it memorized. Because I'm sure you all do. Because if it is the combination lock that opens up your divine inheritance of healing, having your needs met, protection, guidance, revelation knowledge, then I'm sure we all have it memorized or are in the process of memorizing it. But you say, where in that definition do I see the action? I want you to think of me. Say, faith is a substance. What is a substance? Substance is something you can touch, feel, play with. You see that? So if I say I got faith in my heart and I don't do anything that you can see, touch, or feel, then you're not seeing any substance of my faith. In fact, if I'm not doing anything, if I'm not saying anything to bring out of my heart that faith, then I'm not putting any substance to it. Faith without substance is in your head. Because faith without substance is really mental assent. Mental assent has no substance. It's just a thought in your head. Yes, I see that. I agree. The Bible is true. The Bible says that, so I believe it. In your head. But when it's in your heart, you say, yes, I see it. Yes, I believe it. And because I believe it, I'm going to act on it. And because you act on it, people can see your faith. Turn with me, please, to the book of Mark, chapter 2. Mark, chapter 2. And when Jesus had entered into Capernaum, after some days, it was noised about that he was in the house. The word went out. The Lord is here. Verse 2. And right away, many were gathered together, so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached to them. In other words, he was in the house preaching. Everybody heard. They came. The house was jam-packed. You couldn't even get to the door. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, was carried on a stretcher by four people. Four people brought a fifth on a stretcher. Came. Why are they coming? They obviously had heard the master's here, that the master's a healer, and they wanted healing for their relative. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd and because they were tired, they turned around and went back home. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that, does it? No, it says, and when they could not come near him, they couldn't get into the house because the doors were filled. And perhaps the windows were full, assuming they had windows in those days. They uncovered the roof where he was. Talk about nerve. You go to somebody's house and start digging a hole in their roof. And you think, what were they thinking? They were thinking, digging a hole in the man's roof is not good. But you know what? Getting my friend healed is even better. And they were willing to take the risk. The cost, maybe the LAPD would have come and arrested them.
They ran the risk to dig a hole in the roof and let the man through the hole in the roof. And when they'd broken up the roof, they let the man down with the palsy. Okay? Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, how did he see their faith? Because faith is made up of substance. What was the substance? The substance was there digging a hole in the roof and letting this man down. The substance was there bringing a man from who knows where. I mean, they weren't taking an ambulance. Four guys were carrying a stretcher, bringing him to the house. Faith was letting the man down through the roof. So when Jesus saw their faith, faith requires action. Faith requires action. If you think you have faith and you have no action, what you've got is mental assent. There is no power in mental assent. Somebody who is not born again could read it and have mental assent. I'm not born again. I don't want to be born again. But I believe the Bible is true, and I believe the Bible says that. That's mental assent. It's not going to help them. Faith requires action. And faith requires action from the very beginning. What is the very beginning for you and me? The day we were born again. The day we were born again. How were we born again? We became born again by believing and confessing. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that you're saved by believing and confessing. That if you should confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you see the faith? You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. Where's the substance? You're confessing with your mouth. If you shall believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. But Ephesians 2, 8 says we are saved by grace through faith. So we are saved by grace through faith. We are saved by believing and confessing. You can equate them. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. Did we all learn that? Once upon a time? We are saved by grace through faith. We are saved by believing and confessing. Therefore, believing and confessing is equal to faith in that it produces the same results. Do you want to know how to put your faith into operation? You believe it and you confess it. Now, if you believe and confess, your actions should match what you're saying. Your actions should always match what you're saying. What you do should match what you're saying. If what you do doesn't match what you're saying, you're sending mixed signals out, and the angels of God can't help you. And pretty soon, the angels don't know what to do when you say something. And whichever one is bad, whichever side is bad, the actions or the word, the demons would pick you up on that. So your actions must always match your words. So we can be healed by affirming the word of God. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we have many testimonies about that. My own brother, when he had an arterial rupture, was healed because three people went 24 hours a day as close to him as they could, taking shifts and affirming Chester's brain has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. 8 hours, 8 hours a time. 8 hour shifts, 24 hours a day. And just by speaking God's word, Chester's brain has been healed by the stripes of Jesus, the word of God healed him. Because he was in a coma, he couldn't do anything for himself. But there comes a time when you're affirming the word of God for yourself when you need to put some other actions to the words. Where your actions must correspond to what you're saying. If you've been saying to me, the classical example of how not to do it was a lady who had been affirming hundreds of times a day for a long time. She had got her total healing, picture of health, but she's still going to the doctor for this challenge. And I said, when are you going to quit going to the doctor for this challenge? You are a picture of health. You haven't had a challenge in, by this time, must have been, I'm going to guess, 2 years. She said, I'll quit going to the doctor for this challenge when the doctor tells me I'm healed. Lady, you just said 1,000 times I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and you're still waiting for the doctor to tell you? See, much of that was coming out of her head. Even so, she didn't get totally healed from the day she came here until the point in time we're talking. At some point, your actions have the rest of your action, because, of course, speaking is an action. But at some point, the rest of your actions have to catch up with your words. When you say, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, what are you saying? You're saying, the Bible says that I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. You're saying, I agree with the Bible, which means I believe I was healed 2,000 years ago. So why are you acting like you're sick? Because there's pain in my body. Well, do you decide if you're healed by the pain in your body or by the word of God? Do you decide you're going to heaven because of what you do or because of what the Bible says? Do you think you're going to heaven today because today was a good day, and I don't think I sinned today? It's because you don't know what the sins were. But tomorrow when you commit a sin, you say, oh, today I'm going to hell. And 2 days later, I'm going to heaven. And 3 days later, I'm going to heaven. Do we do that? No. We believe once and for all the Bible is true, and we're going to heaven because we did what the Bible said. We believed that Jesus died for our sins, and we received that salvation. We ask him into our hearts. Once we do that, once we believe that we are saved, going to heaven, regardless of what happens in our body and our life. Why don't we do the same thing with our health? It's the same process. It's the same Savior. It's the same cross. It's the same blood. It's coming from the same heaven. But to do that, you got to take it a step at a time. For most people, you got to take it a step at a time. But at some point, you got to make the decision. I truly believe I'm healed. So, understand that believing and confessing bring the same result as faith. It is faith. It's faith in action. Now, believing in your heart is like having God with you. Faith is believing in your heart. If you believe in your heart, then your actions and your word will match what you believe in your heart. That's what believing in your heart means. Believing in your mind doesn't require action. Believing in your mind, you could continue the same way you were going before. But when you believe in your heart, when you believe in your heart, then you'll see words and then you'll see action. Because out of your heart comes all the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. Out of your heart comes all the issues of life. So if you believe in your heart, you will see the issues of life having to do with that which you believe, such as healing. So believing in your heart means you've got faith. Believing in your heart means you're seeing action. Believing in your heart means you're believing and confessing and acting. Now, Mark 9:23 says, if you can believe, all things are possible. Mark 9:23. Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible. But Mark 10:27 and Luke 1:37 says, with God, all things are possible. So, if you can believe all things are possible, with God, all things are possible. Therefore, believing in your heart is equivalent to having God with you in that it produces the same results. Let me say that again. That's pretty powerful. Believing in your heart is equivalent to having God with you in that it produces the same results. Jesus says, if you believe, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. So if you believe in your heart, it is equivalent to having God with you. Because with God, all things are possible. If you believe in your heart, the word of God. It's called the engrafted word. And that engrafted word, according to James 1, verse 21, the engrafted word will set your soul free. As your soul gets set free, so does your finances and your health. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you might prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And you might say to me, but I'm a Christian. I'm a good person. I love the Lord. I led 2 people to the Lord yesterday. I minister the gospel. I preach. I teach. My soul is wonderful. Oh yeah, how are you in patience? What is that little dirty word, patience? Jesus says, in your patience you possess your soul. In your patience you possess your soul. We all need to be set free more and more in our soul. All of us. So don't get offended when I'm talking about you and your soul getting set free. My soul needs to get set free even more and more. So does yours. In your patience, you will possess your soul. So believing in your heart is like having God with you. Because what you have in your heart is the word of God. And the scripture says you should pray that Christ dwell in your heart. This is your spiritual heart, not your physical heart. Pray that Christ dwells in your heart. The engrafted word in your heart will drive what you say, and what you say will guide your life because your tongue guides your life. The engrafted word in your heart will release the power of God who is inside you to change your life. For out of your heart comes all the issues of life, because out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Now, if you have God in your heart, if you have Christ in your heart, and you open the mouth, what comes out? The word of God. And the word of God is what changes things. Remember, Jesus said, after Jesus had been with the disciples for 3.5 years, he says, it's better that I leave and go away. Because if I go away, I can send the Holy Spirit to be with you. So Jesus is saying that it is better for you and better for me for the Holy Spirit to be in us than for Jesus to be next to us. See, that's pretty shocking. All of us would think, boy, if I had Jesus to walk beside me, I'd never have another problem. I would never be scared of anything else. But Jesus is saying, it is expedient. It's mandatory that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit can't come to be in you. And the Holy Spirit comes to be in you, and He lives in you. And the next step is for you to hide the Word of God in your heart. So faith is believing and confessing. And believing in your heart releases the power of God inside you. Believing in your heart is taking advantage of, this may not be the right expression, but it's making use of the fact that God is inside you, and God wants to change your life by having you speak the Word of God. How does it work? Well, when you believe in your heart, out of your heart comes the Word of God. And John 7 verse 38 says, out of your innermost being, out of your inner man, shall flow rivers of living water, which refers to the Spirit of God. So when you believe in your heart, out of your heart flows the anointing Word of God, which allows the anointing of God, the manifested presence of God for a purpose, to change your life. Which purpose? It depends on which word you're speaking. If you hook into the transmitter of finances, then you speak words of finances. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. How many times do you say it? Say it until your needs are met. Why would you want to say it less than it? Say it till your needs are met. And you say, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. How many times should I say it? If you're in pain, let me suggest you say it until the pain goes away. If you're prepared to say it for 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, a month, it probably doesn't take long. When you are committed to saying it until the pain leaves, it usually doesn't take long. If you put a limit on it, I'm going to say it for 5 minutes, 5 hours, a day, and then I'm going to be upset at God and get mad, then all the devil has to do is hang on. He knows if I can hang on for 4 hours, you're going to stop. But when you want healing in your body, then when your mouth is not saying something else like, hello, how are you, Pastor Chicken Leg, it should be saying the Word of God. Why in the world would you not be saying the Word of God? Faith is believing and confessing. Faith is believing and speaking the Word of God. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night to observe to do all that's contained in therein. Then you shall have good success and make your way prosperous. You want to have good success? Keep the Word of God in your mouth. It's a lot better than some of the things we put into our mouth or put out of our mouth. Keep the Word of God in your mouth. Mark 11, 23 says that the tongue moves mountains. If you say to the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it shall do it. Mark 11, 23. But only if you have the Word of God in your heart. Only if you've been feeding the Word of God in your heart. Only if you don't cancel it by saying, well, the mountain didn't move in 2 minutes, so I guess it's not going to go. You've got to pump the Word of God into your heart. And then when it comes out, it's got a force. You ever water the garden? I mean, these things, these hoses are like snakes, you know. They spin around and wet you up. Okay? You got to really wash them when you water them, because the slightest chance you give it, it whips back and gets water all the way your pant leg. Am I the only one? Anyway, you know, let's say the water's coming out and it's a slow trickle. And you turn it off. What happens? It builds up, so when you turn it back on, it comes out really strong for a while. Isn't that true? So you want to get a strong spurt to go all the way over there, you just turn it off, let it build up, turn it on, whoosh, over there. That's like the Word of God you're pumping into your heart. The more you pump the Word of God in your heart, is the more it builds up. And then when you open your mouth, it comes flooding out. It comes flooding out. But you notice that when the pipe, when the hose is turned off as you're building up the pressure, there's no bitter water coming out of the hose. There's no sweet water coming out of the hose. There's nothing coming out of the hose. It's turned off. Because if there's anything coming out, you won't get the pressure buildup. It's the same thing. You want to pump the Word of God into your heart. You want to pump the Word of God into your heart to get power behind it when it comes out. But you can't have bitter water and sweet water coming out of the same cistern, out of the same well. So while you're building up the Word of God in your heart, you can't walk around saying, oh my gosh, I've been waiting so long for my healing, and you know, I'm really mad at God, and this person here looked me at me the wrong way, and he's sitting in my favorite chair, and all these things, right? You can't do that, because bitter water is coming out. If you have bitter water and sweet water coming out, they're going to merge together, and you won't have sweet water anymore. The Holy Spirit, the symbol of the Holy Spirit, is a dove. When Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit, the dove came down. And the dove is probably the easiest of all birds to startle. Slight noise and they're gone. Slight movement and they're gone. And the scripture says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Let no evil communication come out your lip, except that which brings grace to the hearer. You want to quench the Holy Spirit? You want to mix bitter water and sweet water? You want to dilute the power of God? Let words come out your mouth that are not godly. They say in the natural, psychologist tells us, that if you insult somebody, it takes 7 compliments to offset it. 7 compliments to offset it. You remember when Peter denied Jesus 3 times? Jesus led him into affirmation 3 times. 3 times he said, yes, do you love me, Peter? And he said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. 3 times. And each time he went deeper and deeper with deeper and deeper words, right? But 3 times versus 3 times. Now, when you've been affirming 500 times and you say, I guess it's not working, how many times do you think that cancels out? I don't know the answer. I think the answer depends on every person and the circumstances. But I do think it's canceling. I do think it will cancel. It will nullify some of the affirmations. You can't mix bitter water and sweet water. So, faith is believing and confessing. Believing in your heart is like having God there with you. Because by believing in your heart, you can do anything. Because as you believe in your heart, the power of God flows out of you. The anointing comes out. You can change anything. Why? Because Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of your tongue. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Well, do you want to mix death and life together? I don't think you want to do that. You want to mix sickness and health? You know, I think I take 10% sickness today and 90% health. But tomorrow might change. You don't want to do that. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. So what should you do? You should speak life. And how do you speak life? You speak blessing. How do you speak blessing? You don't speak curses. What's a curse? Anything that contradicts the word of God is a curse. So tonight, walk away knowing this. Faith requires an action. In semester 1 of healing school, we teach you the simplest action is declaring the word of God over yourself. That's only meant to be a beginning. It's not meant to be an end. You declare over yourself, my God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You declare over yourself, I've been healed by the strength of Jesus. It's a beginning, but it's such a powerful beginning that a lot of people want to stop there. They see so many miracles. In healing school, every meeting, people get healed, and almost always, affirmation is involved in the process. We see so many miracles concerning affirmations that many people want to stop there and say, this is so wonderful, I don't need to go any further. We always need to go further. Always need to go further. Affirmation is not meant to be the end of the process of receiving your healing and receiving your finances. Acts 2:21 says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What is the action? Calling in the name of the Lord. Mark 5:36 says, be not afraid, only believe. What's the action? A, don't be afraid, and B, believe. If you believe, you know, you don't really believe until you have actions. You have to do something else in addition to the believing. Yeah, believe is that be living in. Okay? Be living. Okay? Be living in. Mark 5:34, thy faith has made thee whole. Faith will produce the results if there's an action. The lady with the issue of blood, she believed that if she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she'd be healed. She put action to her faith. She risked her life by coming out in the public with a flow of blood. And her faith was in risking her life. Matthew 8:11, Jesus said to the centurion, I have not found such faith in all Israel. Well, what did the man do? He just spoke. He says, I understand authority. And when I say to one of my legionaries, go, they go. When I say stop, they stop. In other words, I'm a centurion. I have people under me. When I speak, they do it. Well, you are the Lord. You have all authority in you. When you speak, sickness, disease, demons, winds have to obey you. Well, guess what? He gave all that power and authority to you and to me. He made you his ambassador. He made you his attorney. You have power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus, by faith in that name, is the key that unlocks every single thing that you need. You're the ambassador of Christ on earth. All the power is vested in the name of Jesus, and you have the right of attorney to use that name.
So just as the centurion said, when I say to my soldier, go, he goes. Just so you can say to sickness and disease, go. And you can say, money, come. But you can't do it if you have bitter and sweet water in your mouth. You must be pumping into your heart the scriptures that have to do with the command you're going to issue. Now, after you've been doing it for a lot of years, it's built up in you, and you don't have to run to the Bible and say, well, okay, let me find five scriptures on healing so I can say, be healed. Because it's in here. Do you know that what is in your heart is bounded, comes out of what's in your mind? You can only have faith for what you believe. What is in your mind, the mental ascent in your mind, makes the boundary out of which comes heart faith. You read the Bible, it renews your mind. So now in your mind you believe it. That's the beginning. Now once you believe it, once you have mental ascent in your mind, and once the Word of God is in your mind, and your mind has been renewed in that area to the Word of God, now you act on it and speak it and it gets done in your heart. The process of getting it from your mind into your heart is the process of doing it. But the process of getting it into your mind is the process of reading, studying, and memorizing. Oh, sounds like school. It is. It's a school of life. The school of life. This school of life, this school of the Bible, is more important than any other school you've went to in your life. And believe me, I don't say that lightly. It is more important than any other school you've been to in your life. You need to memorize the Bible, and you need to have the scriptures. Now you say it's a big Bible. Why don't you start with the simple thing that you need the most? What do you need the most? Let's say I need healing. Not me, but let's say you need healing. I got my healing. Well, why don't you start by memorizing one scripture and healing? Now, if you know one scripture and healing, memorize two. Generally, two is enough. But if you're here tonight and you want to be a person of faith and you want to get your manifestation of your healing, then you should have at least two scriptures memorizing healing. Memorizing them changes your mind, becomes mental ascent. Now you start speaking them and acting as if you believe it, and your healing comes. Same thing with finances. If you're here tonight and you have trouble with your finances, you need to memorize two scriptures in finances. The first one you really should know should be in Malachi on tithing. Because tithing is a doorway to having your needs met. If you're having financial challenges in your life and you're not tithing, that's the place to start. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Nobody here wants to rob God. But God says, if you're not tithing, you are robbing me. So I would say start with Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10. Okay? Now, if you're speaking, if you're doing your tithing and speaking the word of God, then you say, you can now start professing, God, you promised to give me the blessings of a tither, which you'd open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing, I don't have room to store it. So when you read it and believe it, it changes your mind. But when you start speaking, then doing it, you can walk around all day long saying, in the name of Jesus, I'm a tither, in the name of Jesus, I'm a tither, in the name of Jesus, I'm a tither. Which will work in the beginning, because God gives you credit for the intention of your heart. And how long the beginning is depend on people. I can't tell you how long the beginning is. But at some point, you're no longer in the beginning, and to your affirming that in the name of Jesus, I'm a tither, you need to tithe. Tithe is giving 10% to God. It's pretty clear in tithing that no matter how many times you affirm in the name of Jesus, I'm a tither, you never truly become a tither until you tithe. Is that clear to most people? Well, the same thing is true in healing. No matter how many times you affirm in the name of Jesus, I have been healed by his stripes. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. At some point, you got to take the action that corresponds to the healing. Such as, next time a headache comes, I'm not going to take aspirin. Such as Pastor Matthew, when he was being challenged a number of years ago with heart challenges. He found himself checking his pulse. And he said, what in the world am I checking my pulse for? A healed person doesn't check his pulse. Generally speaking, a healed person doesn't check his pulse. Generally, they tie their tithes. So in Matthew 8:11, Jesus says he had not found such faith in all Israel because the man understood authority. He wants you and me to understand authority. Faith is believing and confessing. Faith is believing in your heart. Faith is speaking to release the anointing out of your inner being, to release the power of God out of your spirit. Faith is releasing the anointing that's in the name of Jesus.
Faith is using the authority that's in the name of Jesus. At the end of the book of Matthew, Jesus says, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. True? Let me just back up very briefly. In Genesis, God said to man, I give you power and authority over all the earth. He gave it to Adam and Eve. Give it to man. Now, if he gave power and authority to all the earth, to Adam and Eve, how much did he have left? Zero. So people say, why did God allow the devil to come into the Garden of Eden and tempt Adam? Because he can't break his word. His word was, Adam, you got all power and authority. And he even warned him. It's like teachers going to give a test. And they warned the students the day before. And you know, the students are dreaming. They don't even pay attention. Isn't that true, teachers? We got a whole bunch of teachers here. Isn't that true? You give them the answer, they don't pay the slightest bit of attention. And God warned him, said, and everything that creeps upon the earth, what did the devil do? Came creeping in like a snake. And Adam said, God warned me specifically about these creeping dudes. But he didn't do that. So God gave all the power over the earth to Adam. I didn't give it to the devil. So when the devil tempted Jesus, the devil took Jesus up to a mountain and showed him all the powers of the world and said, all this belongs to me because it has been delivered into my hand. Why? Because he's a thief. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it better than you have ever imagined it. I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. But the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Why is he a thief? Because he stole the power and authority from Adam and Eve by tricking them. So then at the book of Matthew, Jesus says, all power and authority now belongs to me. Why? Because if you study the scriptures, you see he defeated the devil and took it back. So God gave it to Adam, all of it. The devil stole it. Jesus won it back by conquest. Jesus got his name in three ways. One of them is by conquest. So when you pray, don't pray in the name of Christ, because the power is not in the name of Christ. Christ is the title. Don't pray in the name of the Son. Don't pray in any other name but the name of Jesus, because all the power is vested in the name of Jesus. His name of Jesus, he got by inheritance, by bestowal, and by conquest. It's not a simple thing. It's a very powerful, important scriptural truth. The name of Jesus is the name at which every knee shall bow. The name of Jesus is the name in which all power is vested. And Jesus says, all power and authority has been given to me. No, you go in my name. It's in the name of the Jesus that you're an ambassador. You're not an ambassador in the name of Christ. You're an ambassador in the name of Jesus. Now, if all the power and authority is in the name of Jesus, and we, the church, and you as individuals, have the power of authority to that name, how much power and authority is left for God to interfere in your life? The answer is zero. Just as in, how much power and authority did God have to kick the devil out of the Garden of Eden? That's a zero, for the same reason. When you take all away, it leaves zero. Some of your teachers, I know there are no math teachers here, but I'm telling you a little bit about math. If you take all away, there's zero left. If all the power is given to Adam, God has none left over the earth, over the earth. If God gave you free will, he's saying, you are God of your life. You've got free will. Do you hear me here? He's saying, you've got free will. That means you're God over your life. No, we need to bow our knee and turn our Godship back over to the Father and say, not my will, Father, but whatever you want. But until we do that, and until we do that in everything, every time we make a decision with the Father, we lock him out. So if you live your life 23 hours and 55 minutes a day locking God out, and 5 minutes a day you pray, you may have some wonder as to why God's power is not healing your body and bringing finances in your life. Because God gave you the most precious gift, which is free will. You have free will to go to hell. You have free will to go to heaven. You have free will to be God of your own life, or you got free will to bow your knee and say, Lord, your will, not mine. But when Jesus says, all the power in heaven and earth has been given to me, that meant the Father had none left. I know it's going to turn some of your theology upside down. But if you've been living by that theology all your life and you're still having problems, then maybe it's time you change something. You can't make progress if you don't change. And everything I've told you is a mathematical, logical truth. If all the power is in the name of Jesus, and you and I are the ones who use the name of Jesus, God doesn't have it. Now, can God, can Jesus, can angels do things on earth? Yes, with prayer. Let me close with the most dramatic example. You think God can do anything he wants, which he can. He can do anything he wants, but break his word. And his word says all the power and authority is in the name of Jesus belong to you. His word says all the power and authority has been given to men. So he said, if that's the case, how come he destroyed the earth with water? Is that a good question? If he gave all the power and authority to Adam, if he gave all the power and authority to man, how come he destroyed the world with water?
Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to close with this. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 verse 7. By faith, Hebrews 11 verse 7. By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world. Who condemned the world? Noah. Noah condemned the world. Noah condemned the world. You remember when God came to Abraham and said, Abe, old boy, I'm going to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abe says, if I can find 50 people, will you wipe it out? He says, no, I won't do it for 50. Well, how about 40? If I can find 40, will you wipe it out? No. How about 30? How about 20? How about 10? Why did he stop at 10? Moses didn't stop at 10. Three times Moses taught God out of it. God said to Moses, Moses, your people coming out of Egypt. Your people coming out of Egypt. I mean, 10 times they have disobeyed me. 10 times they've said, I'm going to come out in the wilderness to die. Numbers 14. He says, I'm just going to kill them all off. Let you and me start over. Moses said, no, you can't do that. So let me say this. God loves you so much that, and loves me so much, we can't even begin to understand how much he loves us. But we know he sent his son to die for you. We know he says all power in heaven and earth is in the name of Jesus, and you have the right to use the name of Jesus. We know he said the devil has been defeated. No, you need to believe these things in your heart and speak them. You need to speak with authority the way the centurion did it. That just as the centurion knew the soldiers under him had to obey, you and I need to keep sweet waters in our mouth, the word of God in our heart. Renew your minds to the word of God and speak it, knowing that when you speak, the demons and evil spirits must run. It says, James 4:7, submit yourself to God. We're just talking about that. The word of God, renewing your mind, the word of God in your mouth, the word of God in your heart. That's submission to God. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Know this. If the devil is not fleeing from you, you're either not resisting or you're not submitting. Put it another way. When things aren't working and you want to change, don't look to God for change. Because the scripture says, I'm the Lord God, I change not. If you want change, don't look to the devil to change. He's got a job. He's got a clock in 9 to 5 to try to kill you. So don't look to him to change. That only leaves you. That only leaves you. Things aren't working, you find out what you need to change. If we fast and go before the Lord to hear his voice, it's not to move his hand. Move his hand to do what? He's given you every single blessing there is already. He sent his son to die for you. It is so you can hear his voice, so he can tell you, son, you got to quit doing this. And daughter, you got to quit doing that. See? That means we're going to change. Seeking God is for God to tell us what we need to change. Because sometimes we don't want to hear it. Sometimes we know what it is and we don't want to do it. Now, if you know what it is and you don't want to do it, it's because there's a challenge below that level that you don't know about. Okay? But that's a different story. So, let me close. Faith requires action. If you don't have a faith action plan, what you got is mental assent. Mental assent doesn't do anything except provide the knowledge as a platform from which your faith can spring. Faith is action. Faith is action. Faith is believing in your heart, and whatever you believe in your heart, you will speak. So if you want to know what's in your heart, get somebody to hit your finger with a hammer. And we'll see what comes out of it. Okay? Right? Next time there's a crisis, let's see what comes out of your heart. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that the words I speak tonight, Lord, that you will touch each person at their point of need, at their point of faith, at their point of revelation knowledge. And Lord, make up for my shortcomings in my style, Lord God. Father, I ask you to touch each heart, that nobody would be offended, but everybody who hears this on radio, live, anywhere, recorded, that Lord, that you soften their heart and that my behavior would not cause them to turn away from the truth. For your word says, if they continue in the truth, if they continue in the word, they shall know the truth, and the truth will set them free. In Jesus' name, amen.